Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Swimming Teaching Podcast, where we're looking to make swimming fun. This is a podcast for parents, swimmers, and swimming teachers, and hopefully a bit for everyone. So in this episode, we're going to be looking at the topic of efficiency in swimming. And this is one of those key areas that swimmers and coaches, teachers, parents, everyone's looking for efficiency. Now, a lot of people don't really know necessarily that that is what they're looking for. And the way they frame it is that they're looking for it to be easier. And the way it's going to get easier is through efficiency. So they're kind of the same thing, just different frames of references and different words, really. So efficiency can have a number of different definitions and meanings to different people. I'm obviously going to use the one that makes sense to me and that I use, which is using your body's ability to the maximum. So it's not necessarily about going slow or making everything easier. Because you can swim efficiently and fast. If you want to win an Olympic gold medal one day, you're going to have to be efficient in the water. It's not necessarily, it has a context of slow and easy, but it's not necessarily about that. For us to swim efficiently, we want to take our body, use the strength, the stamina, the speed, everything you have right now, sitting here, listen to this podcast, but make it all work for you as opposed to against you. That's the biggest thing that I have with swimmers that come to me is a lot of their energy is being used in ways that don't help them towards their goal. And that's really what efficiency is about. And that's what my job as a teacher, my job as an article writer, I suppose an author is probably the best way of phrasing that. A podcast host. My job is really to help people take what they currently have physically and apply it in the pool. And the easiest way to start thinking about that, we're going to cover a couple of things. It's going to be probably one of the shorter podcasts that we do because I want to leave you with some key action points, but not too much so as to overwhelm you. Some of the things we'll reference are in older podcasts. So this is episode 3 in the series. If you haven't listened to 1 and 2, I would recommend going back. Especially episode 1 gives a great frame of reference for everything that we kind of talk about in this episode and all of our future episodes. So one of the things we're going to look at first is how can we take your body and make it do more? And the easiest way is the way you think about swimming. So I want you to think of it as your whole body working together rather than your arms and your legs and your head and your hips and everything working separately or independently. And you may not even know that that's kind of the way you're looking at it at the moment, but for a lot of swimmers, they'll come in and they'll have questions like, I just can't seem to move my head enough to breathe. Why is that? Or my legs keep sinking, or I have this pain in my lower back as I leave the pool. And to them, it's a very isolated thing. It's the breathing, the legs, or the hips. There's something wrong with each of those individual areas. But for nearly everything that you do in the pool, there's an underlying cause or reason, and it's very rarely that straightforward. So if you go in with the idea that everything is connected and everything has to work together, then it changes how you view it and it makes you a better swimmer. So now that we are looking at it as your whole body working together, now we're going to look at the part that connects your upper body to your lower body, which is that hips, core, stomach, that kind of midsection area. And it can't actually be overstated the role that they play in swimming. They control everything, essentially. And if you're swimming along at the moment, and if you can think back to the last time you swam, especially if you're a learner or a more beginner swimmer, if your hips are square in the water, what I mean by square is the front of both of your hips are facing directly at the ground and not moving, then you've got an issue. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. An issue is not usually a good thing, but if that's what's happening at the moment, you have an awful lot of room to grow with only a small little change, which is really exciting opportunity to come. So what we're going to try and do is use those hips to control everything, but you're in control of that movement. So if you are in a position to do it, there's a couple of things we're going to talk through now. There's an article on the website, which is swimandteaching.com, and it's titled How to Swim Efficiently. It takes all of the experiments we're going to talk through right now and goes through them in a little bit more detail, and it might be easier for some people to read it labeled kind of step by step how to do these things or what we're looking for than try to listen to it. So if you find that that's easier, jump over there and have a read over that. There'll always be things that are in the web that are in the website article that aren't in the podcast. There'll always be things in the podcast that aren't in the website article. So if you want to get the full scope of content, make sure that you're getting both of them. One last thing, and it's a little bit of a plug, but it is important. On the bottom of the website, no matter where you are in the website, whatever article, the homepage, every at the very bottom there's always a subscribe button. And that's to the weekly newsletter. And it just went out earlier this evening for this week. And that always has one or two pieces of information that are nowhere else, that are exclusive just for those subscribers. Completely free. You just get an email each week from me with just something that maybe you haven't thought about or something that might help you along with your swimming, that is, you won't find anywhere else. So that's enough about the other sources. So looking at how we can kind of measure your hips and everything, if you can stand up or you're kind of in a position to try along with some of the things that we're going to talk about now, please do. If not, what I would love you to do, and doesn't mean you have to do, what I would love you to do is pause this episode right now. Wait until you are in a position where you have a little bit of room, you can stand up and take a couple of minutes to work through these, and then do it. You will get so much more value from it than just if you're driving. I listen to a lot of my podcasts, I think I mentioned that before, while I'm driving, so I can't do half of the stuff that we're about to do if I was driving. So please do pause it. Now, if you've paused it and come back in, fantastic. If you're battering on, then that's cool too. So first thing we're going to do is I want you to stand up, face one direction, put your shoulders facing that way, your hips facing that way, your feet facing that way. Now what you're going to do is, without moving your feet, I want you to imagine that somebody just called your name from behind you. So if your name is Jennifer, you've just heard this faint little Jennifer from behind you. You whip around to see who's behind you. Okay? I want you to try that and go left. Try that and go right. Come back to the middle. Now, if you think about it there, what part of your body moved? Take a second. If you're sitting in the car listening to me, you can still play along. What part of your body would you think you would have moved? It's your hips and your shoulders that move there. And they move naturally and instinctively. You didn't have to think about it. You didn't kind of go, right, well, I'm going to move my hip and then I'm going to move my shoulder. No, it just happened. But what was interesting is you didn't move your neck or your head. They went with your shoulders and hips. So you have this natural rotation already in from years of turning around for someone calling your name or turning around to look at stuff. If you take that movement that you've just done right there, put it horizontal, that's front crawl breathing. That motion where we can turn our hips and shoulders to the side, your head gets carried along for the ride. If you do that but horizontal, your head will come up to enough to allow you to breathe in air and come back down. And it's such a simple and easy way to think about breathing. But again, the key to it is it's efficient. because it's a small controlled movement, but it's your whole body working. You're moving your hips and shoulders now to breathe. You're not struggling or fighting against the water or your body. The second one we're going to go into in just a small little bit of detail. This is one that might work better for you from the website because it's there in step by step. If you are driving, you can kind of do a little bit of this with your hands on the steering wheel. Ideally, if you're at home, please kind of engage with it and play along. This is the one of the ones I do with any of my triathletes that I work with, my more advanced swimmers. And what we're doing in this exercise is identifying your personal position of strength. That's always the way I like to say it. Your personal position of strength. That sounds good, doesn't it? You want to kind of work out what your personal position of strength is. Okay, so let's do it. If you are listening and you want to kind of jump ahead to where we're done with this, jump ahead about 3 or 4 minutes and you'll join back in. You can always come back to this and repeat this later on. People who are still with me, you're going to try and find a wall or a ledge or something stable that's in around shoulder height. Got it? Okay. You're going to put your two palms flat on that surface. So the palms of your hand are flat on that surface. Your arms are fully straight. Now what you're going to do is you're going to shuffle your feet in just a little bit so that there's a bit of a bend in each arm. No more than 3 or 4 inches off your full extension. So you're pretty close to being fully extended, but just a tiny bit in. Now, this is the really key step. If you get this, you get it. You're going to try and rotate your elbow, and you can work one arm at a time. If you put two fingers on the underside of your elbow and push up, you'll find that your elbow and shoulder are in a same alignment or at the same height, but they're both slightly above your wrist. So you should be in this position, elbows and shoulders the same height, slightly above the wrist. Now what you're going to do with that surface out in front of you're going to push down, push like you're trying to push it down through the ground. Now, if you're in this kind of position, roughly where you want to be, you should feel tension all the way up through your arm, into your chest, into your upper back, into your lats. The lats is the one that control people. They're just the muscle underneath your arms, that long muscle there underneath your arms. You should ideally feel tension across that whole spectrum of muscles there. If not, pause it, replay it. If you can't get it, I put this in the article, but it is really important. Send me an email, swimandteaching@gmail.com. I personally guarantee that I'll arrange it for you to get the full benefit of it. Fully free, fully guaranteed. Just send me an email. If you get it, fantastic. If you don't, send me the email. Pause this right now and do it. If you have that tension, what you're going to do now is a crucial step. I know I said that earlier, but this is where we can take it into application. You're going to take a step back away from your surface without moving your arms from the position they were in. And now you're going to hinge at your hips so that your arms stay relative to your body. And you're going to go forward until you're horizontal. So now your arms should be still out in front of you, but they're going to be down facing towards the ground. If you can end up with your arm going through that position that you're in right now, or that you were in when you were listening to this section a second ago, if you can end up in that position every stroke you take, then you are maximizing your body's strength. That's your personal position of strength. There's no way I can move or manipulate your arms that's going to make you stronger. That's as strong as you can be. You're taking all of your major muscle groups and applying them directly in line to push you as fast and as far forward as possible. And that's really all you can ask. Now, That's complicated, and if you've kind of listened to some of the other podcasts and you're expecting to be able to sit at home and just kind of listen without having to get up and do all this extra stuff, I don't apologize because normally I have to charge a lot for this kind of info and you're getting it for free, so I don't feel too bad for you. If you do give it a try, I guarantee it will add something to your swimming. As a teacher, if you're listening and you understand this and it makes sense, it might be a new way of teaching it for you and your students that's going to get some results. As a parent, it might help you understand what the coaches are trying to say to your child and you might be able to help them along. But mostly it's going to benefit those swimmers. If you have been just trying to plow your way through the water, and you're inefficiently using your muscle groups, and now you can add to it, but have everything working in the right direction. That right there is efficiency. Not slow, not steady, easy swimming. Taking your body's current ability, but applying it in the right direction. If we can take that and do it all the time, amazing. Now, that's complex. That's complicated. That's going to be difficult to apply when you get in the water. So don't leave here, toddle off to the pool, and expect in 10 minutes or four lengths to just have it. It's not going to work like that. This is going to take you a couple of weeks to get right. But if you do, and it's a change from where you are, it's going to completely change your whole stroke. It's something that I've done with recently. A number of swimmers looking to do an Ironman within the next kind of couple of months. And that's going to be really pivotal for them is being efficient in the water and not putting too much energy into the swim. Because they've got a crazy bike and run to do as soon as they get out of the water. So conserving energy is crucial for them. And it's made a big difference for their swimming. Now that's longer, slower, steadier swimming. But the principle remains the same. If you wanted to go one fast length to the pool, this is how you do it. Last thing we're going to touch on with regards to efficiency is taking out inefficiencies. Because we can always work and progress and do better in areas, but it's also about taking out things that aren't working or things that are making it much harder for us. So one thing that we've mentioned in episode one, The Science of Swimming, is legs. And it's still such a common thing, people getting in the pool and pumping their legs. Their legs are driving all the time. We said that your legs give you between 5 and 10% of your overall propulsion or speed. 5 or 10. And they burn four times more oxygen to get that 5 or 10%. If you had a car and it would just wasn't working, you decided you were going to get a new car, but this new car is burning four times as much fuel as the old one, and it's getting you 10 times less distance than the old one, you wouldn't have that car for very long, would you? The exact same idea in the pool. It's an inefficient use of resources to put in all your effort, four times or 80% of your resources going into 5% of your output. That's a crazy ratio, but it still happens every day in the pool. So one way we can do it is ease off in your legs, use that energy with your arms. Sounds simple? It is simple, but it's not, it doesn't always have to be complicated or awkward to be effective. Now, we're going to cut the podcast short there because I think that really gets to the essence of what we're looking at with efficiency. There'll be more talk about efficiency in future episodes. It's not the end of it. But if you can get into the pool, use your hips to rotate and control your body in the water and your breathing. Maximize your power and pull underneath the water and ease off in your legs so then you have more oxygen and more energy to do those first two things, then you've taken a massive couple of steps forward towards your end goal, whatever your end goal is. Thank you for checking in and listening to episode 3 of the Swimming Teaching Podcast. And I hope to see you again on the next one.